He's the triple threat behind the mic for the Beavers, from the gridiron to the diamond to the hardwood. Always appreciate the time to chat up our friend Mike Parker. Mike, been a while. How are things going with you?
Hey, thanks, Steve, for having me on, and Alex, too, and the good drop. Slim Pickens. When I hear Pickens, I am depressed. Tends to lift my own depression just hearing that line. I watch Blazing Saddles is one of those films, you know, how you're told by counselors, hey, if you're having a dark day, a downtime, just watch an old movie that makes you laugh. So Blazing Saddles is in that queue, and Marx Brothers films are as well. So thanks for the lift of the spirit.
I'm glad we can help, Mike. I want to start with a general question about baseball, actually. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you guys got to see it when Jacoby Ellsbury made the show and played so great for the Red Sox. Last fall, seeing Michael Conforto, who just bash the ball for the Beavs, and obviously you get to meet these guys when they're 17, 18 years old. What kind of a charge is it to see them not only in the majors, but, you know, on the biggest stage of all?
Yeah, exactly. And hitting two homers in a World Series game,
right.
going Willie Mays Akins on the world, or, you know, there's a few others that have done that. Doesn't happen very often for anybody, and it happens to a kid that made a very, as you could tell, Steve, a very rapid ascent, because
yep.
he was just here as a Pac-12 Player of the Year in 2014.
Jeez.
And so, you know, here he is, you know, a year and a half later, hitting home runs in the World Series. So, and a great kid. You know, Pat Casey doesn't say of many players, he said it of Jacoby, and I think he said it of one other player in his 22 years here, where he pronounced when the guy arrived on campus, that guy's a big leaguer. He'll play in the big leagues. And so he had Conforto getting to the big leagues without a doubt, but it happened even more quickly than I think Pat thought that it would. And it's great for all of us up here to see Michael, a great kid, doing so well so quickly.
Now, the Beavs had a young team last year because a lot of guys got drafted. But coming into this season, which starts today, they're fifth in the Baseball America poll. What have you heard Coach Casey say he likes so much about this team?
Well, the season opened today down in Surprise. They played Ball State, and I think I've been saying all along in this offseason that, as you know, the Beavers have ridden incredible pitching through the years. I mean, they've just had arm after arm, All-American guys, guy like Andrew Moore out of North Eugene, and Jace Fry, and Ben Wexler, and Matt Boyd, and the list is long. It feels as though today's final score, Beaver 7, Ball State 6. My feeling is 7 runs, 13 hits for the Beavers, and it took every one of them to get the win. I think we're going to see a few more scores like that this year. The pitching's carried the Beavs for a long time. Pat's got a potent lineup, more speed, more versatility in his lineup than I think he's ever had. But the pitching, there's some more question marks with a lot of that great pitching having moved on. So they're off to a good start, but they're going to need to score more runs this year to stay at that high level, and I think they will.
All right, year two as we get to basketball under Wayne Tinkle. And, you know, the years leading up, there were a lot of empty chairs at Gill Coliseum. This year, the first Civil War, a sellout. Last year, 17 wins. Right now, a strong RPI. A win tomorrow would get him 500 in conference. How much of a nice jolt has Coach Tinkle provided the program for the fans up there?
An amazing one, Steve, and he's done a great job. Last year was near miraculous, as I'm sure you observing, we all did from the outside going in. There were prophecies of maybe making another run at a winless conference season. I know that there were people that really, I mean, the Beavers were a unanimous pick to finish last.
Yep.
And so they utterly exceeded expectations and went 15-2 at home. The only teams to get them were Utah and Oregon. And that's unbelievable in any year, but let alone with that group that Wayne inherited and what he got out of them, that immediately raised the bar of expectation. Well, if you can do that with that, then clearly you're going to make the jump to the tournament the next year. And I think in that regard, there was a little bit of, I think, some unrealistic expectations, again, maybe from the outside, maybe even within the heart and soul of the Beaver fan base, thought that with the infusion of a great recruiting class, that they would certainly be an NCAA tournament team. the fact that this late in the game that you just referred to, the 38 in the RPI, and certainly on the bubble, again speaks to the job Wayne has done and is doing. If they win tomorrow, I think that solidifies them. I think if they win tomorrow and can sweep the Washingtons at home next week, they've got a real good look at making the tournament for the first time in 26 years. But that's a huge if tomorrow with Oregon unbeaten at home. But I think the Beavers are coming into the game and playing pretty well. You know, they beat Stanford and took, I thought, competed well against Cal, and Oregon did not. So, I mean, maybe the trajectory right now is that such a pitch for the Beavers. They have a chance maybe to come in, play well, and steal one tomorrow at Matthew Knight before a sellout crowd there, too.
Talking Oregon State hoops with Mike Parker. You mentioned the 1990 team. There was a pretty good player leading that group named Gary Payton. And now we have GP2. And you look at the kind of player he is, 18 points, 8 boards, 5 assists. Now, you've obviously seen a lot of great players there following this conference. What's the word, or maybe you personally, how much do you like the younger Payton's game transfer into the NBA next season?
You know, I have said of his father, and Steve, I know you've been around long enough to maybe strongly disagree with this or maybe think, well, you may be right. I have said, and I've been watching, you know, Pac-8 basketball since 72, 73 that year and followed Oregon very closely through the Harder era and thus certainly Ralph's teams through all the years, and have been a pretty big fan of the Pac-8, Pac-10, Pac-12 since moving to Oregon in 73. For me, Gary Payton the Elder is the greatest all-around guard the league has seen in that time. And when I look back over the history of the league, I think Gary may be the best all-around guard the league has ever had, even with the great UCLA teams and championship teams acknowledged. Gary could dominate games, as you remember, Steve, from both ends of the court. I mean, he could take a game over defensively, and he could get you 58 if he needed to, as he did against Ravelin's USC team. GP2 is he's capable at time of wreaking utter havoc defensively, like his dad. His game offensively is utterly different, but athletically, he's greater than his father. And you've seen some unbelievable dunks from him, as we all have. The thing that hasn't happened as much or as consistently as it did with Gary the Elder was taking that and translating it on the road. He's had a couple of good road games, but those numbers you reeled off, he's had fewer of the 28, 8, and 4, you know, points, rebounds, assists, steals on the road. He needs to be that kind of guy on the road for the Beavers, and tomorrow night would be a great time to have a line like that to give the Beavs a chance. And then beyond that, I see his name show up all over, you know, and he's unorthodox. He's got some pull. He's not a great shooter. He's not a great ball handler, but he does so many things well, and he's such a great athlete and a great kid and coachable that I think he's got a bright future in the league, but not ready-made for the league like his dad was 26 years ago.
Yeah, well, I have the vision of Gary Payton the Elder smiling back at me as Sports Illustrated's Player of the Year. So that's not a bad resume.
Yeah, not at all.
This starting lineup has a nice mix of vets, a couple of freshmen. I want to hit on the coach's son, who's actually a top 100 recruit coming out of his high school in Montana. Had a heck of a couple of games when you guys visited the Bay Area last week. What about Trace Tinkle's game and the season he's having as a freshman?
First of all, Steve, he's like his dad and highly competitive, relentless in his hustle, work ethic, and maturing in his understanding of where he can get his points. The thing that makes him so tough is he can catch and shoot, and he's, I think, the most adept driver on the team. He can beat you, you know, shooting the basketball from mid-range and deep, but he can put it on the deck and turn the corner with either the left or the right hand, even though he is a left-hander. And if he's a good finisher. He's a good free-throw shooter. He leads the team in getting to the free-throw line. Good offensive rebounder, has a knack. You can see the coach's son come out in him in a lot of situations. And even, you know, Wayne has told me that Trace early in the year was sort of, you know, biting his tongue at times when he felt like something needed to be said to kind of fire up the guys. There's less of that now. I mean, he sees what's possible for this team. He is the coach's son, and he's been around the game his whole life. What he has to say should be heeded, should be listened to, and he's been a little more vocal of late as well. So a freshman with GP2 at the other end of that as a senior, those two guys together have been pretty dynamic at times. And, again, they need to have great games tomorrow for the Bees to have a shot to win. I think Trace is ready to have another strong game. He's getting better and better each weekend.
Yeah, by the way, I may have to send you a check because I just brought up the Pac-12, Pac-10, Pac-8 players of the year, and I just saw some of these point guards. I think this is going to be like half a show. Great Pac-10, yep. Pac-12 point guards. And before your time, but Lester Connor was one of them. You had Jason yep. Kidd, Mike yep. Bibby, Jason Terry, Luke yep. Ridenour, Terrell Brandon. Yeah, we can go on. That's a good one.
It's a good one. And in the 70s, too, you know, for me, Ronnie Lee, and I know there's a lot of folks, and I know you know Ronnie's legacy.
Sure.
Watching Ronnie Lee play in the mid-70s was a beautiful thing. And Ronnie Lee, for me, is in that conversation. When you start talking about who's the greatest all-around guard that the league has ever known, Lee would come up in my conversation. I still rate Gary above him because I think Gary was as good of a defender, if not better, and a little better scorer and shooter. Not a great pure shooter, and no. Ronnie never was a great shooter, but he could dominate a game at both ends of the court, too. That, for me, is a little bit – Jason Kidd would be in there had he played longer, but he only played 2 years. So, you know, and Lester Connor – two-year guy. But
right.
The second year at Oregon State, player of the year, and was unbelievable. And again, a guy who could control a game at both ends of the court.
Now, another recruiting coup for the program, who was actually rated higher than Tinkle, Stephen Thompson.
Yeah.
He was a McDonald's All-American nominee, played well as the Beavs swept the mountain schools. And for those who may not have seen too much OSU basketball, what kind of player is he and what kind of impact has he made year one?
When you mentioned the Mountain School sweep, that happened because of his sheer intelligence and savvy. And he's a freshman, but he's also a coach's son. His dad, the great, you remember Stevie Thompson, the great 3-2 player at Syracuse and played in the NCAA tournament, went to the Final Four in his freshman year, and was a terrific player. In fact, Don McLean said, in his opinion, Stevie Thompson's as good of a small forward as college basketball has ever seen. And now the son is there. I mean, he's just so crafty and smart. And when the Beavers beat Utah, Steve, you probably saw the replay. He took off from behind the midcourt line, saw Brandon Taylor kind of leaving his feet, and so intuitively said, okay, if I leave my feet and lean to the right, the law of gravity will require him to crash into me, which means I'll go to the line and shoot three free throws. And all of that geometry and all of that in that moment got him three free throws with 0.1 remaining, and the Beavers pulled that thing out just because he's that adept at knowing what's going on the floor, what everybody else is doing. He has a great future. He's had a good season, but his best days are still ahead. He's a terrific player.
He really is a good player, and I noticed that when we had some conversations. The word savvy came up.
Yes. Absolutely.
Let's wrap with a football note. We had Coach Anderson on a couple weeks back during Letter of Intent signing day, and I just love how forthright he was. He was like, yeah, we played well against Oregon, blah, blah, blah. We lost, and it was a disappointing season. But,
right.
You know, he's implementing a new system since coming over from Wisconsin. So moving forward with this recruiting class, what's left in the cupboard? What's the level of optimism heading into year two under Coach Anderson?
It is also pretty high, Steve. I mean, when you reference, you know, Coach Tinkle in his second year, I mean, Beaver Nation's thrilled with what he's done and he's doing. Pat Casey speaks for himself, and the program speaks for itself under his watch. Scott Ruick in women's basketball is a top-10 program. There's a lot of good things going on here, but now it's football, which had some very good years and a good run with Mike Riley, but now trying to retool. I expect a pretty big jump next year, primarily because they will have a guy at the quarterback position who can deliver the ball on time and accurately and run the offense. Seth Collins was a revelation, and it's too bad because of the way he was used in the Civil War. I'm sure you looked at that and said, uh-oh, that guy can be a nightmare.
Right.
I think Gary and the staff certainly wanted him to come back because they had discovered a way to use a real weapon. It's too bad that he's moved on. I think it would have been better for him to stay in that kind of role because I'm not sure he's ever going to be a full-time legit quarterback. But as a threat, whenever he's in the game, he creates all kinds of problems, and I'm sorry that he's gone. Having said that, Daryl Gerritsen, the transfer from Utah State, is ready-made for the offense, experienced in it, and so that alone will help the Beavers on offense next year. They'll score many more points and be much more potent because they've got a guy who can make every throw the offense requires with accuracy and doesn't have the big-time arm a la Mannion or Derek Anderson or some of the guys in the old pro days here with Mike Riley, but he's a guy that can make every throw accurately and understand where the ball needs to go. They didn't really have that this past year. That was part of their struggle. And then defensively, it is. Kalani Sitake said before he left and took the BYU job, we asked him about next year, he just simply said, well, it can't get any worse. So with Gary Anderson getting hands-on as a defensive line coach, he's going to be the position coach now. He hasn't done that for a while. I feel like they're being able in this class, and Gary probably told you, they recruited a lot of length and speed, particularly on defense. It's still going to take a while for all of that to translate and going to the odd front and doing all the things Gary wants to do. But you'll see a huge improvement on defense, too. And I think by year three, a team can be ready to get back and legitimately contend for the postseason.
Yeah, well, we were all on board and thought it was an awesome hire to get him, a guy of that quality. But, Mike, always enjoy our time together. Always fun, great information. You travel safe to Eugene, and maybe I'll run into you tomorrow.
Hey, I look forward to seeing you, Steve, and thanks for having me on, and thanks for a little slim pickings today.
All right. Have a good one, Mike.